So Boris Johnson and Leo Varadkar meeting in Dublin over the last few minutes. We have not received realistic proposals to date, says the Taoiseach. Boris Johnson, among other things, saying some very interesting things there, including before November, we must restore government in Northern Ireland. Does he know something none of the rest of us do? Let's discuss this with the commentators Patricia McBride and Alex Kane. Morning, Patricia.
Good morning.
Good morning. Morning, Alex.
Morning, morning.
Good morning.
Patricia.
Well, there's a slightly different tone, Alex, from Boris Johnson, certainly, this morning. Very much positioning himself as a man who does not want no deal and that it will be for everyone to take responsibility for that. He said, for the sake of business, farmers and ordinary people, we need an agreement, Alex. But no realistic proposals as to what that agreement would be, Alex.
Well, there's a difficulty, Stephen, and the Prime Minister did say that this is a problem that has rolled on for 3 years. Certainly the big part of the negotiation rolling on from 2017, when the withdrawal agreement first came into play, when the backstop first came into play. Boris, member of a cabinet, didn't get this. Boris, who backed the withdrawal agreement and the backstop at the time. So he has a history of being all over the place and very dithery on all of this. But it's true, he was asked two or three times, he's been asked over the past week, has he a new set of proposals? Now, normally a Prime Minister in those circumstances would say something like, we have something quite substantial, but obviously we're going to discuss it with the Irish government first. It was all very fizzy. Oh, no, you're fine. Everyone will talk. Everyone wants to talk. It was his usual old. His problem, Stephen, it comes down to the simple fact is, at some point, he may have to make a choice between a getting Brexit through in some form and yielding, rowing back on the Irish question. He can't. I don't see at this stage how he manages to square that circle with both sides happy, and I don't think he knows how to do it either.
Patricia?
Well, I think Alex is right, and what we hear from Johnson today, Boris, from the Prime Minister Boris Johnson, is he's talking about having an abundance of proposals, but nobody's seen them, nobody's heard them. Dominic Raab yesterday saying, well, we haven't written anything down because we don't want it leaked. You know, there's no suggestion that there are any concrete ideas coming forward in order to address the outstanding issues. And even today, after all of this time, we're still hearing Boris Johnson referring to technological solutions to the border, when we all know that none exist anywhere in the world and nothing has been proven to be workable. So I think what today is very much shown in that press conference is a game of two halves. It's very much about Boris Johnson trying to convince people that he wants a deal when the evidence seems to suggest otherwise. And it's very much about the Irish government saying, we are part of the EU27, we will negotiate as a bloc, this is not going to be a series of bilateral agreements between Britain and Ireland. So there's nothing really changed on the Irish side.
Well, do you know what, Patricia? Maybe there is, because the Taoiseach clearly said today, and we've heard this this type of language been introduced over recent weeks, that they are prepared to listen to alternatives to the backstop. Now, rewind back to when Theresa May was still in power, and they were saying there is no alternative to the backstop. There will be no renegotiating a deal. To be fair to Boris Johnson, they've moved. The EU has moved. They're prepared to listen to alternatives to the backstop.
And you hear Leo Varadkar very clearly saying at the end of that press conference today, for Ireland, no backstop is no deal.
In the absence of an alternative.
In the absence of an alternative. But there are no proposals. It brings us back to the start of the conversation. There are no proposals. No one knows what this abundance of proposals is. There's no meat on the bones. And I can't see how that's going to happen in an hour-long meeting this morning before Johnson has to dash back to the House of Commons.
Alex Kane, it was written down, which is why I'm hesitant about asking you, was it a mistake? He read it from a piece of paper when he said we must restore government in Northern Ireland before November. What on earth does he know that we don't?
Well, I don't think that is a mistake. It ties back into what Patricia said about this backstop thing. A few days ago, Geoffrey Donaldson and Nigel Dodds were talking about, and I can't remember the exact, some sort of all-Ireland regulatory body or something which could manage a few things, but would also manage the relationship north and south, east, west, you know, through the Assembly. If this was deemed acceptable to the European Union, to Ireland, the British government, and so on, there was something not fully fled, not enough meat in the bones, as Patricia said, but certainly something there. Geoffrey and Nigel both said there were aspects they could live with, but it depended on having a Northern Ireland Assembly where the DUP and Sinn Féin would both have some sort of joint say in how things operated. So he knows, Boris knows, if that is the route he's going down, Stephen, if that is a backstop in new form, which some people have suggested it might be, if that is the route, then it requires the Assembly to be up and running, which in turn, as Patricia will know, requires either Sinn Féin or the DUP to make a huge concession on other issues for that. At this stage, I'm not sure there's enough will on either side to do it.
The BBC's economics editor, Faisal Islam, tweeted the following last night. He said, Northern Ireland only backstop is being given a token rebranding, but essentially the same as was totally rejected by the UK government last year. It's now only plausible landing point for a deal, including one that might get the OK from Ireland and the European Parliament. Number 10 don't need the DUP anymore.
Well, I think that's a very, a very true observation by Faisal Islam, and I commented on that last night. The arithmetic in the House of Commons has changed dramatically. After removing the whip from the rebel Tory MPs' resignations, you know, those votes that the DUP bring may still not be enough to get any deal that Johnson brings forward over the line if his own rebel MPs are no longer backing him. So if that's the case, what is it that Johnson is trying to hold on to? I mean, if the DUP support doesn't make a difference, then the backstop for the North only is something that's very realistically coming back into play, because it's a deal that he could probably get across the line.
Will the DUP be anxious now, Alex? If you listen to the Prime Minister today, he was talking about the unity of the island of Ireland for agri-foods. We're now starting to hear about, is there some type of rebranded backstop? Therefore, Northern Ireland would be different from the rest of the UK. Will the DUP be getting anxious at all of this, Alex?
Well, two things. Yes, they will be getting anxious, Stephen, but bear in mind that that Boris Johnson is the man who stood at their annual conference in November last year and told them that he would not be back in the withdrawal agreement. He would not be back in the backstop. He did both. When Faisal's tweet last night and what Geoffrey and Nigel were talking about a few days ago is just what I'm not sure how they describe it. It's a backstop in some sort of form, but not the backstop as we know it. It may be that the DUP will be worried about it, but he seems to be suggesting, and maybe I'm overreading them in this sense, but he seems to be suggesting that the DUP would have a fallback position in the sense that they would have an input through the Assembly into how it operates. As I say, we haven't seen the full meeting this, but it is true. The DUP will know, Stephen. They will be very, very concerned that if Boris Johnson has to make a choice between the Conservative Party, the Brexit Party, and leaving on October the 31st and doing something that keeps them happy, they may not find themselves on the winning side of that argument. That does concern them.
I think the only ray of hope that the DUP can take from that speech today, and I don't have the exact language written down here, but was Boris Johnson very clearly indicating that he didn't see a situation where the backstop would come into play. In other words, he was suggesting that the deal on the future relationship could be done within the withdrawal period. So, you know, from that point of view, he may be able to convince the DUP, you know, let's sign up to a North-only backstop because it'll never happen. We'll make sure that it never has to come into play. I don't know whether that'll be enough to get it over the line and to keep that to keep the DUP on board with the British government's position. We'll have to wait and see on that.
Here's Robert and Carrickfergus. Let me bring in Robert. Morning, Robert.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, question for yourself, your contributors, the answer for me. I'm not sure about it. If one EU nation says that they won't give an extension, does that override what's going on in Parliament at the minute with the opposition trying to force that you can't leave without an O-Deal?
Alex?
I didn't quite hear the beginning. My understanding is that on all of this, it has to be agreement of all member states, but if something is to move. So, yes, I didn't hear the beginning of the question, but yes, generally speaking, if the EU makes a decision, all the members, they must all go through the same lobby to agree it.
I see Michelle O'Neill from Sinn Féin, the economy slipping into recession under a threat of Brexit, but the DUP and the Tories are determined to inflict even more economic damage. Patricia?
Well, I think it is quite shocking, that information this morning. I mean, this is the sixth month in a row with negative growth. So we are, if we're not already in a recession, we're certainly on the verge of one. And I think that that is not with, you know, with all of the focus that has been on Brexit, the lack of focus on getting the Assembly back up and running and tackling those economic issues, it's a very, very real threat. And aside from that, or in addition to that, you look at the front page story in today's Belfast Telegraph and the threat to the health sector as a result of Brexit, the shortage of medications. I mean, we already know from the Royal College of Nursing that there were 2,500, over 2,500 nurses short in the NHS in the north alone, and that many EU-registered nurses have left the north since the Brexit referendum and simply cannot be recruited. So there's a huge raft of issues here that need to be tackled that should not just be left to one side and have been, and the politicians need to get back to work to do that.
Patricia and Alex, thank you very much indeed.